start.
What's the next?
Okay. All right. Record's on. Okay, good. I'll put it over here. I want to... Is it going to be clear? Hopefully. Okay, thank you for coming, everyone. Thank you. It alleviates the pressure when I know everyone. Only familiar faces. It makes it easier for me. So I want to talk about an incredible piece that I saw in Reb Shimshon Pinkus' Sefer. Sihot Reb Shimshon. Sihot Reb Shimshon on Purim. So first of all, just good to know Reb Shimshon Pinkus has stuff on everything. On all the holidays. On Tefillah. Sharm B'Tefillah. On he has on Shabbat, Shabbos Makasa, and on Yom Tovim, he's in Hebrew, he's in English, right? Reb Shimshon Pinkus is the man, mamish, his stuff is incredible. So, I don't make any money off this, I just want to let you know. So he talks about Vena Hapachul. So he says on Purim, there's four mitzvot. What are the four mitzvot? Megillah, Mishachmanis, Matanot Avyonim, and Purim. We're gonna explain the mitzvot a little bit, we're gonna go through them a little bit. But the main nikudah, the main point we wanna emphasize is the nikudah of Vinahapachu. So we know Vinahapachu, right? Ashishlu Yehudim, Hema Misanem, right? Vinahapachu. So Vinahapachu is the translation of Vinahapachu is everything was upside down, everything was turned over, everything was inverted, meaning the Jews were basically signed to be a dead people, and we were dead. And the king, Ahasuerus, was the king of the whole world, so we had nowhere to run. There was no state of Israel. And basically, we were done. That's basically what happened. And somehow, miraculously, obviously from God, we were saved. And we ended up, Baruch Hashem, making it alive. And besides for that, we even ended up coming to power with Esther and with Mordechai, and Mordechai ended up being second to the king or the viceroy of the king, and it was just the whole thing was an incredible event. So we're going to discuss a little bit this concept of Vinahabachu, this concept of something flipping over its head, something just going upside down. So what happened was, Reb Shimshon Pinkus brings the following. He brings the Medrash. So the Medrash says, brings down a pasuk of Yitzchak. Yitzchak went in the evening to pray. Rivka lifted her eyes. She saw Yitzchak falling from the camel. So the Medrash says, she saw Yitzchak. So what did she see? She saw something, and all of a sudden she was like astonished. She was like, it was like, wow, something crazy happened, and then she fell off the camel. So what does seeing Yitzchak, what does it have to do? Yitzchak went out to pray, and all of a sudden she fell off the camel? How does that make any sense? So it says, what does it mean? Yitzchak went out in the field. He went out to pray in the field. So there's another medrash that says that what's the field? Gan Eden. This is the medrash. This is not Chassidus Zera. So the medrash says that Yitzchak went to, he was in Gan Eden, right? And he was strolling around in Gan Eden, and when Rivka saw her eyes, she lifted her eyes and she saw Yitzchak coming down from a Gan Eden. Then she was like shocked. So why did she fall off the camel? So was, you know, the person, you could be shocked. You could be sitting on a camel and be shocked. It doesn't mean you see someone coming out of Gan Eden and fall off the camel. So it says because when a person comes out of Gan Eden, this is the Medrash. Ki derech hayotzim migan Eden shagleim limala v'reshem limata. The way a person comes from Gan Eden is their feet on top and their head at the bottom. Meaning, it's like skydiving, just without a parachute, basically. Right? We think skydiving was created in this generation. It wasn't. It was created a very, very, very long time ago, at the beginning of the creation of the world. So Yitzchak Avinu was coming down head first from Gan Eden into this world. So we're going to explain what that means. So when she saw that, she was like, whoa, Yitzchak Avinu, like, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, she just like fell off the camel. So it makes sense. So here he says, you know, we're not going to discuss all the details, but the main point that we need to take out of this medrash is v'nahapachu, meaning a regular person stands feet on the ground and hand on top. And in this case, Yitzchak was inverted. His feet were on top and his head was at the bottom, and he came head first down, crashing into the ground. Because that's the derech, right? So that's the derech that people come out of Gan Eden. And another interesting point is that Yitzchak's name is Yitzchak. So what does Yitzchak mean? Yitzchak is like tzchok, it's like laughter. Is like, you know, something funny. So Yitzchak, his name is Miram, is on this nikudah, on the nikudah of this interesting maaseh that happened of him coming crashing down into the ground. Okay, so now we're gonna bring a few other midrashot. So the midrash says that Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva were in Rome, and they heard the Romans were partying, they were having a good time, they were enjoying themselves, there was like a lot of noise coming. So what happened was, they all started crying. So who started crying? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Akiva started laughing. So it's pretty interesting. The Romans are enjoying themselves, meaning there's no Mashiach, there's no Geula, you know, we're in Galut. And all of a sudden, they were crying, and Rabbi Akiva started laughing. So he says, Akiva, what are you doing? What are you laughing for? It was, you know, we're crying because obviously there's an issue here. Why are you laughing? So he says, why are you guys crying? So they said, Lo nifke shagoyim ovdim avodat kochavim, right? It's not enough that the goyim are happy, they're serving avodah zarah, they're in peace and tranquility, and life is great for them, right? Bet Hadom Ragel Okeinu Hatzifat Ash, and where's that Bet HaMikdash? It's burning. The Bet HaMikdash is still burning. It's not, there's no Mashiach, there's no Bet HaMikdash, there's no Kohen Gadol. So that's why we're crying. It's a very sad time. Right? Samalahem, he said, Lekach Ani Misachek. That's exactly the reason why I'm laughing. Why? So how is that a reason? He's laughing because the Goyim are having a good time and we're not. She says, no. Imken l'machisav kal v'chomer osir etzono. So he says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give to l'machisav, the person who are cause kas, who cause anger to Hashem, the people who are not doing avodat HaKodesh, who are doing avodat avodat zarah, who are serving idols and they're obviously they're not doing the correct things, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still giving them happiness and joy and tranquility and all that. Kavachomer for us, meaning maybe not now. Maybe not now is not the time. The Beit HaMikdash is not here right now. But Kavachomer, when the time comes for us, it's going to be much, 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 much greater on a much, much higher scale. So there's another Medrash. It was the same group. They were going to Yerushalayim, and they got to Tzofim. They got to the entrance of Yerushalayim, and they all ripped their clothing. They ripped their clothing because when they got to Yerushalayim. When they got to Har Bayit, they saw like foxes roaming around the Kodesh Kodashim, which is where the Beit HaMikdash was, and they started crying. You know, again, it was a similar event. They were very sad that there's no Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva started laughing, so they're like, you know, Rabbi Akiva, you're ridiculing us. You're making fun of us. This is ridiculous. You know, every single time, you know, this is a serious moment, and you're just laughing, and we're crying. It doesn't make any sense. So he says, why are you guys crying? And they tell him, why are you crying? So they said, because the Pasuk says, V'hazar karev yumat, that if a person is a stranger goes into the Kodesh Kodashim, he dies. And over here we have foxes roaming around as if it's a playground. So of course we're sad. The Pasuk, the Torah says something, and it's not being mekayem, it's not happening. The words of the Pasuk are not being fulfilled. We're very sad. There's animals walking around as if it's a deserted place. So he said, that's exactly why I'm laughing. He said, because there's another pasuk. He says, I'm laughing because I think there's a makar. There's a makar that after the time comes from the foxes or whatever, after the destruction of the temple, is going to be the rebuilding of the temple. So they were crying over the current destruction of the temple, but he was saying, yeah, part of the nevuah, part of the prophecies that the temple is going to be destroyed and the temple is going to be rebuilt. And then there's another story with, he doesn't mean all the details, but basically another story where they were crying and Rabbi Elazar was laughing, and he basically said the same thing. He said, out of the pain and out of the, what happened was is that, Rabbi Elazar got sick, right? And everyone was laughing, and Rabbi Akiva, everyone was crying, and Rabbi Akiva was laughing, and it was basically a similar story again, and he basically explained to them why he was happy and why they were sad. So that's one point. So we know the first thing we mentioned is that Yitzchak Avinu came down from Shemaim with his feet on top and his head at the bottom, and he basically came crashing down head first. So that's the first thing that we discussed in regards to Vinahapachu, that everything was upside down. And the second Vinahapachu, the second thing regarding being upside down, is Rabbi Akiva always looking at things from a different angle, from a different perspective, as opposed to the other Tanaim who always were sad and crying when things were bitter and things were unfortunate. Rabbi Akiva always found some sort of happiness and some sort of positivity in it. So on Purim, now look at this. All the Yamim Tovim, all the holidays, and the Torah, and the Mitzvot, and everything, is a connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between us and God. We connect with God. But there's one thing, so Purim is also that, but there's one thing on Purim which is a little bit different, which is, he writes a mechitza gedola, a big mechitza, a big, like a big barrier, is teva. So what's teva? Teva is nature. Teva is a way of life. So it's nisim. Nisim are miracles, right? You know, we're not a generation that gets to see miracles, open miracles on a daily basis. But, you know, if we really open our eyes, sometimes we could see miracles. But the general way of things is teva. That's the way of life. That's the way the world functions. So he gives a few examples of teva. So like this, he says, one example is the following. A person wakes up in the morning. A person breathes, right? A person has a heartbeat. A person is able to get out of bed. So a person says, you tell a person, you say, you know, you're so fortunate, you're so lucky. You have air, you have oxygen. Oxygen fills your lungs and you could go through the whole day. And, you know, we don't even think about it. We do it subconsciously. So what does a person say? A person says, yeah, what do you mean I have oxygen? What do you mean I have air? Every single person on planet Earth has air. You know, it's like a ridiculous thing. You think I'm the only one that has air? He says, no. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to give you air. He wanted to give every single one of us to think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give me air. To me, myself, and I. The oxygen is for me. However, Hashem made it in a way that everyone has air. Everyone has oxygen, and we don't think of it that it's only for us. We think that everyone has it, and therefore, it's not an open miracle. If I would be the only person breathing, and no one else would be breathing around me, it would be an obvious miracle. But the way the world functions is it's not like that. And the amazing mashal he gives to that is, let's say you go to someone's house. You know, you visit a friend, or you have a meeting, or you go on a date or something, you go to someone's house. So let's say they want to give you a piece of cake, or they want to give you a cookie. So you think they're going to take a big platter and put one cookie or one raglach on it? You're going to feel like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, like one cookie, it's like, I'm not going to eat it. It's like, it's weird. It's like, doesn't make any sense. But if they put a whole tray, a whole bunch of raglach, a whole bunch of pieces of cake, a whole bunch of cookies, there's 20 cookies, 30 cookies. Oh, you take a couple cookies for yourself. You feel good, and you don't feel like you ate all the cookies on the table. And then you go. You move on, right? So it's the same thing with Hashem. You think Hashem is just going to give you air and no one else? You think Hashem is just going to like openly make a miracle and like make you feel like so weird? No, Hashem does it in a way like the teva. The teva is you go to someone's house, you put out a tray of cookies. The teva is Hashem puts out, you know, a tray, quote unquote, of air. It's available for everyone. And then he gives another mashal, another example. You know, a person goes to the store, they buy a bottle of milk. There's 200 bottles of milk on the shelf. You think, oh, there's 200 bottles of milk. It's for every single person in the city. Everyone could go buy milk. He says, no. Hashem put one bottle of milk for you, and in order to conceal the miracle, he made a teva that there's 200 bottles of milk on the shelf. So the point he's basically trying to bring out is that there's something called teva, and we get so caught up in everyday activities and the way the world runs, we sometimes forget that there's really like a quote-unquote miracle hidden within the teva. So he says that's the nahapahu of Purim. On Purim, what happened was is that through the teva, through the everyday action, through the regular way of the world, Hashem created an incredible miracle. And that's the nahapahu. Everything was inverted. Everything was turned upside down. He said, okay, so we'll explain a little more. So how do we see that? So he says in Purim there's all the mitzvot that we there's several mitzvot, right? There's reading the Megillah, there's Mishloach Manot, there's Matan Tavionim, there's Sudat Purim, right? Those are the four main mitzvot. So what does Megillah mean? The word Megillah, literally means Gilui. Gilui means revealing. So through the Megillah, the story of the Megillah was revealed to us, the whole story of Purim. But in the Megillah, it explained to us, it showed us how the Teva, how the nature of the world was really a miracle, but the miracle was done through the nature, through the regular everyday events. Now, I wanted to point something out. I mean, I think he might see this later on, but if anyone, I mean, I'm sure you've heard this before, but how many times does it say the name Hashem in the Megillah? So the answer is zero. It doesn't say the name of Hashem. In the entire Megillah, it doesn't say the name of Hashem once, not a single time. Because it was such an incredible concealed nace. It was on one hand, it was an open miracle that we survived, that we lived, But on the other hand, there was no flashing lights. There was no voices being heard from the heavens. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary. It was just kind of like just life kind of went on, and we somehow got saved. But really, no. Really, the whole miracle was through the teva, through the everyday activities, through what seems like just a normal way of life. But really, it was really an incredible miracle. But it was hidden within everyday life. So he explains one incredible. This is a really, really incredible thing. Is that Achashverosh, when he became king, he was king. What does it say? Keshevet Amelach Achashverosh, Akiseh Machuto, Asher B'Shushan Habira. So Achashverosh was the king in Shushan Habira. So why was he in Shushan? So Shushan was a city where he was the king. The question is, all the Malachim before him were in Bavel. They're in a different city. They're in Bavel. Bavel is Iraq. So what is he doing in Shushan? What is he doing in Persia, in Iran? He should have been in Iraq, like the regular kings. Right? It's like if you think, nowadays, in Washington, D.C., right? So let's say a president shows up and says, I want to be in Miami Beach. I want to move the White House to Miami Beach. No one does that. You stay in Washington, D.C., because the president has been there since the beginning of the creation of the country. So Achashverosh said, Achashverosh had a cheshbon. He wanted to have an exact replica of Shlomo HaMelech's throne. Shlomo HaMelech apparently had a very beautiful throne, a very special, unique throne, and he wanted to have an exact replica. Now, he didn't want to, I guess maybe Shlomo HaMelech's throne was around, and he didn't want to sit in the actual throne because he felt that would be maybe dangerous, that would be, something that wasn't fit for him. For whatever reason, he understood that was not something that he could do. So he basically said he's going to find the most skilled woodworkers or craftsmen or whatever, engineers to build this massive throne to be an exact replica of Shlomo HaMelech's throne. So what did he do? He sent out to Shushan, and he said, Shushan, apparently they had the best workers were in Shushan, and they knew how to, I guess, build thrones, how to make, replicas of thrones. And he basically sent them to the Umanim, to the craftsmen, in Iran, in Shushan, to build his throne. So what happened? They built the throne for him, and then when they finished building the throne, they're like, this thing weighs 1,000,000 pounds, and there's no way we could ship it, and we don't have any way to send it over to you, so you're basically out of luck. So he said, okay, if that's the case, then I'll move my White House, I'll move my president, the house of the king, I'll move it to a different city just so I can sit on the throne. Now, a person might think that's ridiculous. Like, why would a king just leave the royal city, the royal country, the royal place to go, to a totally different place just because of a throne? So the answer is very simple. He says, because who lived in Shushan? Mordechai. So Achashverosh wasn't trying to do that. He wasn't trying to go there because of Mordechai. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu made it that he should have the thought of wanting the throne of Shlomo HaMelech so that he can end up where? In the city where Mordechai is, and then the Nes of Purim can happen. So that was one thing within the Teva, within the regular everyday occurrences. Another thing, right, so that's the same, that's the Megillah. The Megillah is Megala to us. It reveals to us through the Teva, through the everyday, regular way of life, how the miracles happened. Even though the miracles weren't actual open miracles, but there were things that were kind of strange that resulted in eventually helping the Kali Yisrael be saved. So he says, so in that section that he brings out over here, that the name of Hashem wasn't written even a single time. And that's part of the Vinahabachu. Vinahabachu is that a person has to realize that everything was just done in a way that was so, backwards, so upside down, and that resulted in us being saved. Then he speaks about the difference in Purim and Pesach. He gives an example, the difference in Purim and Pesach. On Pesach, what happens? On Pesach, we eat matzah, we have the starim, and on Pesach we were saved, we were brought down to Egypt, and we know there were many miracles when we came out of Egypt. So obviously Pesach is a very colorful Yom Tov, a very colorful holiday that has a lot of aspects to it and a lot of unbelievable things that are maybe, from things that were not part of everyday life, like the way we were saved out of Egypt, and it was just, everything was unbelievable. But Purim was not like that. Purim was very just simple, very, just kind of way of life. He says, he brings an incredible story that when Moshe Rabbeinu, it was time for Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Shemayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu died at 120. And what happened was, the Kadosh Baruch Hu told his neshama, he says, okay, neshama, this is the Medrash, brings out a Medrash, So the neshama Moshe Rabbeinu, it's time for you to go to Shemayim. You heard this before? It's time for you to go to Shemayim. So the neshama said, I don't want to go. So Hashem said, what do you mean you don't want to go? I'm the boss. You're the neshama. You got to go to Shemayim. It's time to go up. So he says, no, I want to stay here. So Hashem said, listen, you come up. I'm going to bring you in the heavens with all the malachim and all the srafim, all the regular angels, the fire angels, and all the esoteric beings. And you're going to be next to me. You're going to be in my, whatever it is, in Hashem, the Shemayim next to Hashem, whatever that means. And then Hashem says, no, I prefer to stay in this world, in the world of Teva. Because in the world of Teva, a person could work and work and work and work, and eventually become like Moshe Rabbeinu. In the Shemayim, we know there's angels. Angels are unbelievable. But what's one thing which is there's pros and cons. The pro being an angel is you can't sin. One of the cons of being an angel is that there's no growth. You can't grow. You can't move. The angels are quote unquote they plateaued. Whatever level they're on, that's the level they're on, and that's it. A person has the power in this world, not in the next world. In this world, a person has the power to work themselves and to work and to work and to grow to become like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu started was a regular human being, just like us. He breathed, and he was human. And he became Moshe Rabbeinu to the extent that his neshama said, I don't want to leave. This person, the things that Moshe Rabbeinu did in this world were unbelievable. I just want to point out, I actually saw Rav Avadya Yosef brings down on his Pirush in the Megillah that Mordechai is actually compared to Moshe Rabbeinu because Moshe Rabbeinu in his time taught Torah to Klal Yisrael, and Mordechai taught also incredible amounts of Torah to Klal Yisrael. But besides for that, there was one additional thing that Mordechai had that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have. Is that Mordechai was also had he eventually by the end of the story, the last pasuk actually, he became second in command to the king. So Mordechai, in a way, you know, at least from his generation, had a certain thing that you don't find. He had like gdula and Torah. But he also had malchut. Malchut is being part of the king, which that itself is an incredible thing. So that's Mordechai. Who would have thought Mordechai Tzadik was just a little simple Jew and ended up being the last pasuk in the Megillah, the last pasuk, Mishnah Melech, second to the king. Who would have thought that would have happened? So back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what happened to Neshama. So another thing he brings down is that what's amazing is that the Nes of Purim. What happened? What does Purim mean? Is a Pur. What does a Pur mean? A Pur means a lottery. So it was all through a lottery. So if you think about it for a second, is that, let's say sometimes you see those big billboards, like Powerball, 500 million or a billion and 1.5 billion, the numbers are like crazy. Actually, I don't know if they ever hit 1.5. I think last year 1.3. But basically, what's a lottery? A lottery seems like such a mundane thing. So it happens to be that as mundane a lottery can sound, it sounds like it's so superficial, it's like so beyond our reach. But at the end of the day, there's three instances we bring, three times where we actually, where the lottery is actually very important for us, for the Jewish people. One of those times is by the Shvatim, when they swept the land of Israel. So what happened? They swept the land of Israel, they had a lottery. And the lottery, they actually pulled out the names, and they pulled out the different areas in the land, and there was a name of it, and I think there was a call, maybe from Hashem, there was like a bad call, that basically like, said the names and said the areas of land was a real thing, and the lottery, which sounds like the way we perceive it is like not such a refined thing, but at the end of the day, the lottery was very important for the Jewish people because we know which shevet has which piece of land. Another time is by Yom Kippur. We don't do this now, but we say Echad LaHashem, Echad LaHazazel. We have the two seirim, the two goats that we send out that we kill. One of them we kill, and one of them we keep. I think we end up sending it as a... We send it free, right? One of them we send free, one of them we throw off the cliff. So how do we pick which one we send free, which one we throw off the cliff? That's also with a lottery. And the third time we have a lottery is by Yoshua's unbelievable story. By Yoshua, when they conquered... there's a certain war that Yoshua said they're not allowed to take any spoils from war. And Achan actually took spoils from war, and he basically created a lot of terrible things happening for Glystrol, and I think they started losing a lot of men in war, and they realized that someone broke the promise. So how did Yeshua find out who broke that promise? So Yeshua made a lottery, and he found out through the lottery that it was Achan that uh, that that basically broke the promise, that the promise is to Hashem, they weren't going to take any spoils of war, and that's how they found out. So the lottery is something which, even though it sounds like a crazy thing, but at the end of the day, on Purim again, we had a lottery. In Purim, Klal Yisrael, we know that's the name Purim. Purim is from the lottery. So, at the end, he discusses the mitzvot, Matanot Levyonim, and Mishach Manot. So what are those mitzvot? Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically gave us tremendous, tremendous, tremendous ava, tremendous love. And we were basically, we know that when a person's decreed to be dead, which is what happened, all Jewish people were decreed to be dead, we're supposed to die, and Hashem saved us. So we want to pay back Hashem. How can we pay back Hashem? We can't. We want to give him a gift? We can't give him a gift. So obviously, Torah, mitzvah, different things. So on Purim, there's a mitzvah, and this mitzvah is in order to pay back Hashem, to pay to show that Karat HaTov, to show that we also have love for Hashem, we have love for His children. And what do? We give Matanot Levyonim, and we give Mishach Manot. So what's the difference in the two? Matanot Levyonim is we give something to poor people. So the poor people are lacking. So they're lacking, so we say, Hashem, you know what? Your children are lacking, they don't have money, we're going to give them money. That's an amazing thing. But then there's another mitzvah, Matanot Levyonim. So what's Matanot Levyonim? Mishach Manot. Mishach Manot, why are you giving Mishach Manot? People are not lacking. So the mitzvah is supposed to be Bedavka Mitzvah Vahava, Mitzvah of Love. You say, the what? This guy has millions of dollars, and I'm going to go out of my way, I'm going to go to his house, I'm going to give him a gift. And that's why you only have to give the Mishach Manot to one person. Because you're basically showing you're taking your entire love and you're focusing on one person. Now, you can give to Mishach Manot to as many people as you want, but the actual mitzvah is only one person. It's two manot, two edible foods, to one person. And it's funny, Rav Avadia Yosef brings down, if you want to give him a pack of cigarettes, you want to give him Chidushei Torah, you want to give him a sefer, you can't do that. It has to be food. And food, you know, we say to be eaten by the Seder, to be eaten by the Purim Suda. But the point of the mitzvah is to show Hashem, I'm going to take one person and I'm going to give all my love to this person. I'm going to channel all my love to this person. I'm going to give him a gift of food. And he's going to use that food for what? For the Purim Suda, to do mitzvah for you. So it's all Ava and it's always in Teva. And that's part of the nest of Nahabachu. So the last thing I wanted to bring down. Right, yeah, and interestingly is that Mishach Manot and Matan Levyonim are not at night. They're actually during the day, and they're after the Kriyat HaMegillah. Because why is it after Kriyat HaMegillah? We read the Megillah. When we read the Megillah, we get aroused. We say, wow, it's amazing how Hashem really loves us so much and saved our life. And then after the Megillah, we say we want to pay back. So how do we pay back? By doing the mitzvot of Matan Levyonim and Mishach Manot. And then we have the Purim Suda, which we eat from the, we you know, there's a... There's a nyan to eat to give mishach manot that could be eaten by the Purim Suda. So it's really just kind of continuing the channel of love that Hashem sent to us. We're continuing to the rest of the Jewish people. So that's basically what Rav Shimon Shmigis brings down. He brings down a few other things. I just want to say I heard this incredible, incredible, incredible thing from my Rebbe from the Mir, Rabbi Wachshel. Haven't been in the Mir in a long time, but I still get emails. So he says, he brings up from the Gra. He says, Yom Tiv, right? Holidays are usually Chetzi Lachem and Chetzi Lashem, meaning Lachem is to you, meaning to us. We get to eat, we get to enjoy Yom Tiv. And Chetzi Lashem is usually we can't turn on the lights, we can't do Malacha, it's like Shabbat. Basically, we can't do Malacha. So the Chetzi LaHashem is the fact that we can't do Malacha, but the Chetzi LaHashem is the fact that we could eat and we actually enjoy Tanuk Yom Tov, and we basar, we yayin, we wine and meat on Yom Tov. So he says something unbelievable. He says that what happened in Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, Hashem said, Salachti Kedvarecha. Originally we got to Luchot, and we sinned, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up. First he went up for 40 days, he came down. We were serving the Egel. He broke the Luchot. He went back up for 40 days. He prayed. He came back down. And Hashem said, okay, now you can come up for another 40 days and get the next set of Luchot. And the last time he came down with the final Luchot, the ones that we kept, were when? Were on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur is what? Is a day where we fast. And it's a day where we don't do Melacha. Right? It's like Shabbat. And it's a very intense day. But what's Yom Kippur called? Yom Kippurim. That's what it's called. Yom Kippur is also called Yom Kippurim. So Yom Kippur means a day like Purim. What does it mean, a day like Purim? Some people only say it's Kippurim. It's not as holy as Purim. Purim is holier. There's Purim, which is the holiest, and there's a day which is almost as holy, the day Kippurim, like Purim, almost like Purim. So amazing thing from the Gra. The Gra says is that on Purim, right? Purim is besides for Chanukah, but Purim is the only holiday where there's no limitations in Malacha. We're allowed to drive, we're allowed to turn on the lights, we can do whatever we want. Okay, maybe it's not supposed to work. But the point is that on Purim, it's not like Shabbat, it's not like Yom Tov, a person is limited. It's kulo lachem. We eat, we drink, we have an incredible time. And on Yom Tov, it's cool. And on Yom Kippur, it's kulo lachem. We don't eat, right? Not like regular Yom Tov. We don't eat in Yom Kippur, and we don't do melacha. As opposed to Purim, where we do melacha and we eat. So what's pshat? So the Gra says that really it's one holiday split into two. Every holiday is kulo lachem, is chetzi lachem, chetzi lachem. So Yom Kippur and Purim are really one holiday. There are two totally times of the year, and the chetzi lachem is Purim, and the chetzi lachem is Yom Kippur. So it's really one holiday. It's one day, just split into two parts. Like every other holiday is two parts, but the two parts are usually together in sync. Here, the two parts are just split. One's Yom Kippur and one's Purim. One's chetzi lachem, one's chetzi lachem. And then another incredible thing from the Gra is that you might ask, okay, so that's a beautiful pshat, but the avodah, the work that a person puts into Yom Kippur is very, very different than the avodah, the work, the toiling that a person puts into Purim. Because in Yom Kippur, even though we're fasting, even though we're not doing malacha, but it's a day of fear, it's a day of awe. We try to just cleanse ourselves, we try to break ourselves down as much as we can so we can have a full kapara, a full atonement. And on Purim, what are we doing? We're getting drunk and we're like, you know, like acting like crazy people. How can you compare the two? So the Gra is saying like this, he's saying an amazing thing. Is that what's fear? Right? It's a little psychology from the Gra. What's fear? A person, you know, let's say we see a king, or let's say we're in a scary situation, right? We have fear. Fear is a person breaking down. A person doesn't know what to do with themselves. They're afraid, they don't know what it's gonna be, and they're breaking down. It's like humbling oneself. So on Yom Kippur, we basically were afraid, and we really like we're mevatel ourselves. We like annul ourselves to Hashem. We're like, what are we? We're worthless, Hashem. Just please atone me, give me all the kaparot. I'm a nobody. That's what happens on Yom Kippur. So on Purim, we do the same exact thing, just in a different way. A person's sane and healthy and walking around, and they have a head on their shoulders. And then there's a mitzvah to drink on Purim, and once a person drinks, the person leaves their mind behind a little bit. And then all of a sudden, what happens? They're mevatel themselves. It's as if they basically say, you know what, Hashem, for you, I'm giving myself up. So the difference between Yom Kippur and Purim is that Yom Kippur we're not allowed to eat, and so the only way we could do this is by actually experiencing fear. And on Purim, we're allowed to eat, we're allowed to drink. So how are we mevatel ourselves to Hashem? We're not fast on Purim. So the way we mevatel ourselves to Hashem is through the eating, through the drinking. We drink, we have, you know, fuel chimes. Obviously, Revivus said brings down. If a person drinks and they get too drunk and they start acting crazy and they start doing stupid things, it's not a mitzvah to get drunk. But if a person drinks a little bit of alcohol and just to get to be more the simcha and to maybe, you know, sometimes break the klipot, sometimes a person has limitations, a person just to get into the spirit of Purim and to almost like kind of like maybe push away the rational thinking just for a few hours, and that itself, that is the mitzvah to say, Hashem, I'm mevatel myself to you. I'm letting myself go for the purpose of you, just like I do on Yom Kippur. So I just want to wish everyone, first of all, thank you everyone for coming. I wish everyone an incredible Purim. Bezat Hashem, we shall have the zchut to this Purim, have an aliyah, and really, really remember that this day of Benhavachu, this is the day where Yitzchak Avinu came head first down into the ground because he said, this is the world where I could do mitzvot, right? Yitzchak Avinu was in Gan Eden and said, I don't want to be in Gan Eden. I want to be here. I want to be in this world. This is the world where I could perform. This is where I could grow. Just like the Neshama and Moshe Rabbeinu. The Neshama didn't want to leave because this is the place to grow. So Purim is the day. We have a day. We're very lucky. We have a day in the year where we're able to, without restrictions, without limitations, we're able to focus on this nikuda, this point that Hashem does everything in the Teva. Everything in the Teva is amazing. Everything. So we shall have the zchut, b'zat Hashem, to not only grow this Purim, but the growth should take us through the year and through next year and many years. And shall the global remain. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.
If she didn't sign in, please. Yeah. Please do. Man, gives us money and stuff. Sometimes. Thank you.
There's pizza. Oh, yeah. We're having pizza. In the